It's great to be back to share with you and preach from God's Word this morning. So why don't we pray as we begin. Thank you, God, for this time of corporate worship. How blessed it is that we can gather. And maybe we have been complacent and kind of lazy in knowing that we have the freedom to meet. But as we disperse from this week onwards, that you would and meet in our homes, you would give us, we pray that you would give us wisdom and also the ability to enjoy this corporate worship that we have here today, this morning. We pray that you would speak as we have sung your words, sow them into our hearts, and we pray that we would respond with faith and obedience to your word. Thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is this working? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You can still hear me? Yeah. It is. Is that better? 1, 2. Oops.
It's working.
It's working. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Over the years, as I have been pastoring and ministering at church, one of the great discussions and questions that I have had with congregation members is the question, how do you pray? And I'm excited whenever somebody asks me, how do you pray? How do I pray? I'm very excited to have that conversation. Let me ask you this morning, how do you pray in your day-to-day life with the Lord Jesus? And if someone were to ask you that question, how would you respond to that question? What would you say if somebody asked you, how do you pray? Well, you could certainly point them to the Lord's Prayer and be like Jesus and say, this is how you should pray, and show them and read with the person the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you can talk about the Acts Prayer. Have you heard of the Acts Prayer? Of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Maybe those are some helpful pointers that you can go through with somebody and as to know how we should pray and how we can pray. Maybe you were like me when I was young and just closed my eyes and was supposed to pray but started to fall asleep or didn't know the words to say, didn't know how to begin. Maybe you've been there as well. And so those are some helpful pointers, but I would like to suggest this morning that we pray through the Bible. We pray through Scripture, turning to the Word, turning to the Scripture, and praying through the Scripture and with the Scriptures is actually a better way for us to learn about prayer and what to say and how to pray, as we learn from examples in the Bible. There are many examples of prayers in the Bible, many famous ones. Moses praying, interceding for Israel before God was about to judge them for their sin. The prayer of Hannah in the Bible, where there is deep family drama in the midst of all that. She was a woman of prayer, and her prayer is written in the Bible as well. Prayer of Samuel, learning to listen to God. Prayer of Solomon, as he dedicated the temple to the Lord, and he prayed this long prayer for those who were coming in to the temple, including, most fascinatingly, including the non-Israelite people, the Gentiles. The prayers of David, we have wonderful Psalms in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament we have the prayer of Jesus, and we also have the prayers of the Apostle Paul that are woven into these great letters that we have in the Word. And so meditating and studying and praying through these prayers in the Bible is one of the most rewarding ways that we can grow our prayer life and have rich fellowship with God. And so this morning we come to this passage in Ephesians, and in Ephesians Paul prays for the church twice, firstly in chapter 1 and secondly in chapter 3. And so when Duncan invited me to come to preach here at Wurunga, The first sermon I was going to preach on the first prayer that Paul prays. That's this morning, and next week I was about to speak on the second prayer in Ephesians. But he rang me and said, "Hold on, don't prepare too much on the second passage." So thankfully, because of what's going on, but here we are today, just looking at the first portion of Paul's prayer in Ephesians. Verse 15, this is what Paul says. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints." And he begins his prayer with an introduction. "For this reason" means we need to look back at the previous verses of what he is trying to say. What reason is he about to pray this prayer? It is because of the blessings that we have in Christ. In summary, the election, the calling, the adoption, the redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the revelation of God's will to us, the fact that He has made us His inheritance, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. All those wonderful, great words of Scripture can be summarized as one: the gospel. The good news. Because of this good news, because of this, for this reason, and also because I've heard of your faith and love towards all the saints, I pray for you. I constantly pray for you. Those are the reasons Paul prays. He prays because, firstly, of the gospel, of the good news that we have and the blessings that we receive because we are in Christ, because of that, and because of the good news I've heard of your faith and love. You know, I've been wondering about what's a great church, what's a healthy church recently, and every time that Paul writes to a church, he remembers those two things. I have heard of your faith, genuine faith, and I've heard of your genuine love. And I believe the church, when it's healthy, when the healthy church is marked by those two characteristics, the faith of the people gathered and the love that they have towards one another. Those are two sides of one coin. Those are inseparable. Faith and the love that you have is indeed the reason that is the reason for a healthy church. Faith is a firm conviction, an unwavering dependence on God that is not evident only in the beginning of your life, but day to day. Daily we are depending on God. Loving one another is not just a feeling or an emotion that we have, but it's something that leads to a genuine action for each other as we sacrifice, as we love each other. And because of those reasons, because of the gospel, because I've heard of your faith and love, this is what he prays, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. The words "may he give" means that this is not that we can receive on our own. It is not based on the merit of us or what we can do. All we do is ask and pray for these things. And the words "may he give," "may God give," reminds us that this revelation and the spirit of wisdom is something that God gives us and gives to his people. He's wanting to give this to his people. And so it's not something that is inherent within us. It's not within us, it's not within me, but it's external to us, and that is what God gives us. The Spirit here is not the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit is an attitude. It's a way of thinking, a way of life. It's a heart where you are seeking wisdom, to be wise, to see clearly, and also revealing what was concealed. Wisdom of what and revelation of what? Of the knowledge of Him, of the knowledge of God, of the knowledge of Christ. And knowledge here is more than the term we know of knowledge in the Hebrew or the Greek of ginosko in Greek, but it's actually enlightened word than that. It's a much more stronger word than that in the original language, and it's an exact, precise knowledge of God, not just facts or things that you know about Him, but a pinpoint accuracy knowledge of God. For example, someone might know you through your CV, through what's on paper, what you've done, where you've been, what you've studied. All those things are important, but what's more important is actually how you interact with someone at your work or at your school. What's more important than your CV is knowing what you like to eat, for example. Who you are as a grandparent, who you are as a parent. Those are the things that we are more familiar with than sort of a piece of paper that tells us the facts of who you are. And so instead of knowing God just on the facts and knowing God on what He is and who He is, but you really, really personally know Him in that level of detail. I read about this as well. You can look at a piece of music on the sheet and analyze all the notes and the crescendos, and you can analyze all the music on a piece of paper, but it's another thing to actually hear that music being played and enjoy it. Isn't that right? You know, knowing God, just who He is, versus you actually knowing Him precisely in the moment of your life is what Paul is praying about. I'm praying because of the gospel, because I've heard of your love and your faith. I'm praying that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in knowing Him. And that's what he prays for. And that is what we learn from this prayer that we need to pray for in our personal life. To know God personally is salvation. To know Him increasingly is sanctification. And to know Him perfectly is glorification. Right? This is what one pastor has written. So I want to ask you this morning, how do you know God in the moment, at the moment right now? Do you know Him just as the facts? Or do you have His word inscribed and you really, really know Him? Because that's what Paul is praying for at this moment. Maybe you've not yet met Jesus personally and are asking questions. Maybe you have met Jesus personally, but you've plateaued in knowing Him. Paul's prayer teaches us that we are to pray continually for this revelation of knowing God, past our intellect, the facts, past our experience of God, and have that knowledge embedded in our hearts today. So what do we need to know about God, and what does Paul pray? What sort of knowledge of God do we need to know? And that is what he is going to unpack in his prayer. And it's summarized in three words: hope, the riches of his grace, and power. And so we're going to be going through these three things this morning. First one, know what is the hope of our calling. We must remember, Paul is praying that you would know the hope that is found in your calling. Ephesians 1 verse 18, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, right? We are hopeful because of what Christ has done. And Paul is looking to the past here, the work of Christ, in the good news, the past where God has called us, predestined us, where God has made us and called us. Our calling is summarized like this: we are called according to His purpose. We are called for salvation. We are called out of darkness into His marvelous light, and we are called by His God's grace. And because of God's calling, because of Christ's work that is done in the past when he died and was resurrected, because of that, we are more than hopeful in any circumstance. And so Paul is praying, be reminded of the hope you have found in your calling when you were saved, when God came and saved you on the cross. Be hopeful and be enlightened deeper in that way. He also turns to the future and he prays that we would be reminded that we are his glorious inheritance. For all of us in Christ, we are God's glorious inheritance. Because of what Christ has done in the past, we are heirs of God. That's what Paul says. In glorification, when we see Jesus face to face, when we meet him again face to face, God is delighted to call us his very own possession and his very own inheritance. As sinful, as weak, as broken we may be, the good news is that God in Christ adopted us, called us, made us, and he's calling us his great inheritance. And now Paul also prays about the present. In the meantime, we are to know and pray that we would know the immeasurable greatness of his power. And so how relevant that is, even as we live today, isn't that right? All the songs we've sung up until the sermon, the children's talk, have this common theme of God's power. And I would be reminded that this God's power surpasses everything, is able to overcome every resistance there can be. The Greek word for power is dunamis, and from that Greek word, there's a similar word in English called dynamic, and there's another similar word in English based on the Greek. It's called dynamite, right? And so God's power is portrayed like that dynamic power, like dynamite. And how is this power displayed in the Bible? How does God display his power in the gospel? And it's in verse 20 that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The resurrection of Jesus, the saving grace of Lazarus from death, those are the examples of God's power and unlimited dynamic power that is in God. And do you know that, right? And do you know that and gospel that in every aspect of your life, which is what Paul is praying. He's praying that you would embrace that. And we are to pray that we would know the immeasurable power of God, especially in the resurrecting power of God. As we've been praying about the issues that we face, like the coronavirus, I feel that there is a lot of anxiety, tough decisions, disruption in our life. All of these have become a normality. And yet, that's why I believe that this Easter is so important. Easter in 2020 is so important. We've come at a pivotal time. It's so important because the gospel needs to be shared more than ever. Do you agree at this time? Yeah, especially the resurrecting power of God needs to be shared with. And we have a unique opportunity. Every one of us has an opportunity to bring hope, to share the hope that we have in Christ Jesus with those who do not yet have this hope, especially with our friends and family amongst us. The gospel that there is a king who is so powerful, the God who conquers sin, the God who conquers death, and the God who lives eternally, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. He is above every name. All things are under his feet, and he is the head over all things to the church. That God needs to be celebrated this this Easter. And as we lead up with these crises and as we lead up to Easter, my prayer is that you would know the immeasurable power of God during this time. And therefore, pray that we would know, firstly, what is the hope of our calling as we look to the past, as we look to what God has done through Christ. Know that that is the hope of every one of us. Know that in the future, we are, and we sort of are at the moment even, considered in Christ His glorious inheritance, and know the immeasurable greatness of His power in the present as we live day to day. Just regards to that, I came across an Instagram post from one of my friends around regarding the virus, and this is what it says. Outdoors not cancelled, friends not cancelled, singing is not cancelled, laughing is not cancelled, and finally hope is not cancelled, right? We, in the face of all these cancellations, there was a reminder that these certain things really aren't and cannot be, especially the last one, hope, cannot be cancelled, right? And that was very encouraging as I was just praying about sharing with you this word. In our Old Testament reading, Hosea 6:3, this is what Hosea says, "Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rays that water the earth." And I encourage you to know the Lord in this season. To know the Lord. Press on to know Him. And I pray that we can look back on 2020 and say, well, that was the time that I delved into learning about how great God's power was despite the circumstance. We can look back at this time later towards the end of the year and say, that was the time when I grew knowing God's power amongst our community, amongst our church, and amongst our friends and family. That was the time when hope and the message of hope in the gospel was so ever needed. And we reminded each other of God's hope. And as we meet closed doors, apart except for Tuesday nights, may be reminded of this glorious truth. And I'm glad that I chose this passage. I didn't know why, but it's a very timely reminder that we are to know God in this season, especially in this season. And I just want to encourage you with that this morning. So let's pray and ask God for help. Our Father God, give us your wisdom to navigate and make decisions according to your will. Give us your revelation and open our spiritual eyes so that we can deeply know you. As Easter approaches, help us to share our hope, the grace and power you have with those who do not know this glorious truth. And we pray for our gatherings and our meetings that you would continue to bless and nourish all of us here today. We thank you so much, and we pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.